From the previous Mishnah until the end of this Perek, the Mishnahs discuss things which one may or may not sell to non-Jews who serve Avodah Zarah. The previous Mishnah focused on things which are generally used as part of the Avodah Zarah service. And we'll see in this Mishnah and part of the other Mishnahs as well, also things which one is not allowed to sell to any non-Jew, even if he doesn't serve Avodah Zarah. The prohibition might apply even to any non-Jew, as we're going to see. Midrabbanan, we're going to see in the continuation of this Mishnah, Midrabbanan, it is forbidden to sell a working animal, or an animal which is used to carry things, to a non-Jew, in case you will come to lend or to rent such an animal to the non-Jew. What is the problem if you rent or lend that animal to the non-Jew? The answer is, the non-Jew is going to end up using that animal for work or to carry things on Shabbos. Let's say he rents it for a week, he's going to use it on Shabbos as well. Now, just like one is forbidden to do work himself on Shabbos, there's also a requirement of shvisas behemtoi. He needs to make sure that that which he owns, including his animals, also are not performing work on Shabbos. And that includes working in the field, it also includes carrying things in a public domain. Now, when he rents or lends the animal to somebody else, the animal still belongs to him, and therefore the requirement of shvisas behemtoi still applies to him. But if it's in the hands of the non-Jew, then the non-Jew is going to work the animal. And it would emerge that he has not kept, the owner of the animal has not fulfilled the requirement of shvisas behemtoi. So to avoid somebody lending or renting an animal like that to a non-Jew, midrabbanan, it's even forbidden to sell such an animal to a non-Jew. However, according to the strict letter of the law, that doesn't apply to animals which don't work and don't carry things, like small sheep. They don't really work or carry, they don't violate Shabbos at all. So those things, they would be permitted to sell to a non-Jew, because there's no reason to decree in case he'll come to rent it to a non-Jew. It's okay to rent it to a non-Jew. So begins the Mishnah, and this Mishnah is also found in Maseches Pesachim in Perek Dalet, Mishnah Gimel. Says the Mishnah, in a place, in a location where the custom of the people there was to sell small animals to non-Jews, small animals which don't work and are not used to carry things. So if in that location the custom was to permit it, then you're allowed to sell it, because that's not included in the prohibition of midrabbanan. However, in a location where their custom was not to sell even these small animals, they accepted upon themselves an additional stringency, not to sell any animals, because once you start allowing people to sell smaller animals, then it's easy for them to end up selling large animals and renting them. So there were certain locations where they became accustomed not to sell anything to non-Jews, not sell any of these animals to non-Jews. In Meichrin, in such a location, you would not be able to sell even a small non-working animal to a non-Jew. This is one of the many examples of where one needs to follow the custom and the practice of that location in which he is found. That's the focus of the Perek in Pesachim, that's why this Mishnah is found over there. Alright, and in every place, in every location, in Meirchen and Mimagasa, it is forbidden, midrabbanan, according to the strict letter of the law, midrabbanan, it is forbidden to sell a large animal which works or is used to carry things to a non-Jew. And this is not something which is based on different locations. And this even includes agolim usiachim, young calves or young donkeys, even though right now they're not necessarily working in the field or used for carrying. Since once they get a bit older, they will be used for that. And people can't always tell the difference so well between a younger cow or an older cow. And if they see you selling a younger cow, then they'll come to sell an older cow. And therefore, since it's essentially the same animal, it's forbidden to even sell a young animal, which will become a working animal, shleimin or shavurin, whether the animal is whole or even if it has a broken limb or something and it's not fit to work. Nevertheless, people can't really tell about that. So if they see you selling this to other people, they'll think it's permitted and they'll come to sell animals which actually do work, and that would be forbidden. Rabbi Yehuda permits one to sell an animal which has a broken limb or something and is not able to work. Since if it's not fit for working, then the non-Jew is presumably buying it in order to slaughter it and eat the meat of the animal. And if that's the case, nobody's going to see this animal in the hands of the non-Jew. They're not going to have the opportunity to start making conclusions that it's permitted to sell animals to non-Jews, because once the non-Jew gets it, he'll slaughter it and people won't even see that he has that animal with him. Alright, Uven Beseira Matabasus, and Ben Beseira permits one to sell a horse. to a non-Jew, because a horse is generally not used to carry items, but it's used to carry a person. Now, there's a halachic concept known as hachai noses atzmoi. An alive person carries himself. So if he's being carried, let's say, by a horse, halachically speaking, we don't really view the horse as doing a real act of carrying the alive person, but because the alive person can sort of carry himself. Biyazmei, because of that, when the horse is carrying the person, and the person is riding on it, according to the strict letter of the law, that's not really a violation of Shvisas Behemtoi, because the carrying of an alive person is not a violation of Shabbos. It happens to be with Jabbon on it is forbidden. But since even if you do end up renting it to a non-Jew, and he does end up using the horse on Shabbos to ride on it, you'll only violate something with Jabbon on. So we're less strict, and we allow you to sell the horse to a non-Jew. Mishnah Zayin, the list of things which one is not allowed to sell to non-Jews continues, and the Mishnah tells us, in Mirchen Lehem Dubim V'Aroyos, it is forbidden to sell any non-Jew bears or lions, V'Chaldor Shesh B'Nezek L'Rabim, and anything which can easily cause harm and damage to the public, because they're afraid that the non-Jews won't look after and protect and guard these dangerous items to a sufficient degree. In Bainin Emoin Bosilki, it is forbidden to build together with non-Jews Abel Silki, which is the area which they would judge cases involving capital punishment, where they would kill people, and often it was very corrupt and not fair, so it's forbidden to be a part of this process which is effectively killing people who are innocent. Garadoim, this is some sort of structure which they would use when they were judging these cases. Either the judges sat here, or they would take the person who had been pronounced guilty and given death sentence, they would take him on this structure, it's Tadja, or to build with them a stadium, which was used for gladiator-like fights, where they would force prisoners and other unfortunate people to fight with wild animals. Again, effectively, if you're involved in that, so you're involved in something which is causing innocent people to be killed. Vimar, this is some sort of tall building from which they would push people who had wrongly been sentenced to death. It's forbidden to be a part of any of this. Avol, but it is permitted to build together with non-Jews buildings used for their entertainment, perhaps some equivalent of a theater, uveis merchatzois, and bathhouses. And even though the custom of most of the non-Jews in those times, who served of a desire, is that they would dedicate the bathhouse to a particular idol, and they would have the idol inside the bathhouse. Nevertheless, it's permitted to build the actual bathhouse with them, and then when they reach the dome, or alternatively this was some sort of vault on the side of the bathhouse, where they would place the Avodah over there and set it up over there, then also Livnais is forbidden to build that part and have anything to do with that part of the bathhouse. But since the main focus and the main purpose of the bathhouse is not for the sake of the idol, it's for the sake of having a bathhouse, it's therefore permitted to build that actual building and the bathhouse with the non-Jews, as long as you don't have a part in the Avodah Zarah, the idolatrous part of the bathhouse. Mishnah Ches, the beginning of this Mishnah briefly returns to focus more specifically on Avodah Zarah, just like the end of the previous Mishnah, and then we're going to go back to talk about selling things to any non-Jew. The Enos and Tashid and Avodah Zarah, one cannot make jewelry or fine ornaments for the sake of idolatry, for example, kutlais, necklaces and azomim, and nose rings with tabais, or regular finger rings, because you're assisting and you're doing something for the sake of honoring the idol. You're not allowed to have anything to do with the Avodah Zarah. Rabbi Eliezer says, b'sachar mutar. If you're being paid to do so, then it's permitted, because you're not really doing it for the sake of the Avodah Zarah, you're doing it for your money. It happens to be that they'll also use it for Avodah Zarah, but that's not what you're doing it for. It's very interesting, many of the Mefarshim over here delete this line in the Mishnah, because they can't fathom that there would be anyone who would allow you to do something for Avodah Zarah just because you're paid to do so. So they claim that it must be a mistake, and it was added into the Mishnah, but it's not really supposed to be written in the Mishnah. Continues the Mishnah, in Meirchen Lehem Mechubel HaKarka, it is forbidden to sell a non-Jew in Eretz Yisrael, specifically, something which is attached to the ground. Because something which is attached to the ground has the same halachic status as the ground itself, and it's forbidden to sell land in Eretz Yisrael to a non-Jew. The Torah says, V'lo Sechoneim, and one interpretation of that prohibition is that you cannot give them anything, any part of the land of Eretz Yisrael. That's something permanent, as long as we own all of the land, so the non-Jews who are there, they're in a temporary fashion. But as soon as you give a non-Jew real ownership over the land of Eretz Yisrael, that's already giving them a more permanent status, and the Torah forbids it. Avol moicher hu mishei kotzeitz. But you are allowed to sell him something which grew on the ground once you've cut it off. If, let's say, you uproot the tree, you cut off the tree, then you would be able to sell the tree to the non-Jew. Rabbi Huda says, moicher hu la'amanas lokeitz. We're even able to sell him the tree while it's still attached to the ground, on condition that he'll cut it down. Continues the Mishnah, maskirna him botan Eretz Yisrael, it's forbidden to even rent houses to a non-Jew inside of Eretz Yisrael, in case he'll come to sell the house, and the house is attached to the ground, so it would be a violation of v'leischonim to sell it to them. Now, even though renting it is the ownership remains yours, so according to the strict letter of the law, it should be permitted, mijabonon, it's forbidden in case you come to sell the houses to the non-Jews. Similar idea to what we saw before regarding the animals. And the Mishnah adds, "Ve'ein tzorich lomar sodos." And needless to say, it's forbidden to rent fields to a non-Jew, in case he'll come to sell the fields. And the reason why it's needless to say is because it's all the more so. As well as violating l'sachonim when you sell a field to a non-Jew, it's also forbidden to do so because you are uprooting the obligation of tithes from that field. As long as a non-Jew owns the field, it's obligated in tithes, and when he harvests it, he has to separate certain gifts for the Kohanim, the Levi, and the poor people. But when you give it to the non-Jew, then it will no longer be obligated in the tithes. So by selling it to him, you're also getting rid of those tithes, which is another reason why it is forbidden. Over Surya, and in the area of Surya, which is a area of land directly next to Eretz Yisrael, which was conquered by David HaMelech before he conquered the rest of Eretz Yisrael, and the status of Surya is not so clear. Whether it's considered like the rest of Eretz Yisrael, it's not exactly, but on the other hand, it does have a certain level of holiness more than other lands. So the Mishnah says, Maskirna and Botim, it is permitted to rent houses to non-Jews in Surya, but not fields. There's an obligation, perhaps, mijabonon, of tithes even in Surya. So if you end up selling a field, that would be forbidden because you're getting rid of the obligation of tithes. However, since it's not strictly speaking Eretz Yisrael, there would not be a violation of l'sachonim, so it is permitted to rent houses to non-Jews there, but you still shouldn't sell houses in case you come to sell houses inside of Eretz Yisrael. And in the rest of Chutz La'aretz outside of Eretz Yisrael, you can even sell houses to non-Jews, and you can rent fields to non-Jews. You can still not sell fields to non-Jews in case you'll come to sell fields to non-Jews inside Eretz Yisrael, which would be forbidden because we're getting rid of the obligation of tithes. Rav Meir, that's the opinion of Rav Meir. And Rabbi Yossi basically brings everything down one level. Rabbi Yossi says, Eretz Yisrael, inside of Eretz Yisrael itself, maskirin lahem botim, you're allowed to rent houses to non-Jews, you can only not sell them. Have a loy sadeis, but you cannot rent fields to them, because fields is more severe. If you end up selling fields, then you're violating sort of two prohibitions. Alright, of a surah, and in surah, moichim botim, you can sell houses, because there's no violation of loy sachonim at all, maskirin sadeis, and you can rent fields, but you cannot sell fields there. Chutz La'aretz, and outside of Eretz Yisrael, and the rest of Chutz La'aretz, Mochan and Ve'ilu, you're allowed to sell both houses and fields, and we're not concerned that you'll come to sell them inside of Eretz Yisrael. So Rabbi is basically exactly the same opinion as Rabbi Meir, just he brings everything down one level, and makes less decrees with Rabbanon in case you'll come to sell these things inside of Eretz Yisrael. Mishnah Tes, Afim Koim Sha'omru, Lahasker, even in a case where the Chachomim permitted somebody to rent a house, we're talking about a house to a non-Jew, Lolibes Dira Omru, the Chachomim never permitted one to sell it to a non-Jew for the sake of living there. And we're talking about a non-Jew who serves as a Dezara. It's forbidden to rent a house to a non-Jew for him to live there, because the non-Jew will bring into his house Avodah Zarah, an idol. Wherever he lives, he brings his idol with him. And the Pasuk says, Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, you shall not bring, literally an abomination, it's referring to Avodah Zarah, into your house. And since when you rent it, the house still belongs to you, and by renting it to the non-Jew, you're causing the Avodah Zarah to end up in your house, that would be included in this prohibition. Now, if you sell it to a non-Jew, it's less of a problem. Because then, by the time he brings Avodah Zarah into the house, it's already his house, not your house. But if you only rent it to him, then it would be problematic. And in every area, whether it's in Eretz Yisrael, or Chutz La'aretz, wherever it may be, it's forbidden to rent a bathhouse to a non-Jew. And here we're referring to any non-Jew, even one who does not worship Avodah Zarah. The reason being that he will open the bathhouse and heat up all of the water, even on Shabbos, which is forbidden. Now, as long as the Jew still owns the bathhouse, people will think that it's actually him who is keeping it open and causing the water to be hot and heating it up on Shabbos. People didn't commonly rent out bathhouses. People wouldn't realize that it's the non-Jew who's doing it. They think it's the Jew. So this is forbidden because of Marisa Ayin. Marisa Ayin is when something is forbidden because of what it looks like. It looks like you're violating an Avera. Now, it would be permitted to sell the bathhouse to a non-Jew because then everybody will find out that it no longer belongs to the Jew, and it will be obvious that it's the non-Jew who is heating it up every Shabbos.